The reading today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Should you wish to locate that passage in your Bible, I'll give you a moment to do so now. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Thanks, Michonne. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. Today is a special day. If you wanted to, you could have listened to two sermons because there was a bit of a miscommunication between me and Ed. So Ed has also prepared to preach a sermon. So if my sermon is not good, you could listen to him afterwards and you could compare which one is better. Thanks, Ed, but really appreciate taking the time, because I know what it is to prepare sermons. It takes time. So, yeah. Why don't we pray and come to God's word? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to sit under your word. And Lord, we give you thanks because you are a God who speaks. And you are a God who meets us wherever we are. And we pray this morning, please meet us wherever we are. Because nobody else knows where we are except better than you. So we pray that your spirit will be at work in us this morning. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all of us are on a journey, aren't we? We are all on a journey. Some of us have come from different countries, different states and suburbs, and you moved into Burwood. We are on a physical journey. And in our living room, if you had come, you'd have seen this this wall hanger. It's called The Journey, and it is a reminder for us, and to remind us that we are on a journey, and those people who we meet at our living room, they are on a journey. A spiritual journey, a journey of discovering Jesus, journey of growing in faith in Jesus, growing and deepening our faith in Jesus. For some, it is a slow, hard, painful journey, but for others, it is this exciting, joyful journey, isn't it? The passage that we read this morning from Luke chapter 24, it is actually a journey. It is a journey. After hearing the most unexpected, the most nonsensical news that the tomb of Jesus was empty on that first resurrection Sunday morning, Luke tells us on that same morning, two disciples of Jesus were on a journey. We hear their journey. They're leaving Jerusalem and going to Emmaus. Now, one of them is named Cleopas, we know. And they're actually going home after attending a funeral of their best friend. And as they go, they're talking with each other all about the things that have happened in the past couple of days. And then you might be able to picture them in your mind. Shoulders down, faces hung, sad, gloomy, choking as they try to speak to each other and wiping off tears and dragging themselves to where they want to go. They're not going fast. But they don't have to. Then come with me to the last few verses of this chapter. Not this chapter, the last, the verse 20, 33 to 35. Not those are the last few verses. But these verses, we have the same disciples, isn't it? Same disciples on the same day, leaving Emmaus. And there's something different. There's excitement, there's urgency, shoulders high, trying to outrun each other. They're beaming with joy. They don't care if it is dark. They don't care if there are wild animals or robbers on the road. They don't care if they're tired. They don't feel the tiredness because they have seen Jesus. And they can't wait to go and tell the others what they have seen, who they have seen. Now, Luke could have given us the short story, right? He could have said, well, you know, they were leaving Jerusalem sad and gloomy and devastated. And on the way, they met Jesus and they returned joyfully. He could have just said that. But he doesn't. He tells us about their journey. Why? Because he wants us to see how they met Jesus. how they went from not seeing Jesus to seeing Jesus, from non-believing to believing Jesus. And perhaps because he knows that there are people who are reading it today who is on a journey. Journey of faith. Journey of discovering Jesus. So let's have a look at what happened in this journey. What happened in this journey? First, we notice something very odd, don't we? Something very odd. As these two disciples were leaving Jerusalem, Jesus joins them in the journey. Jesus himself come up and walk alongside them. But they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. Now Luke says that they were kept from recognizing him. In other words, there is this something external that was stopping them from seeing. It's not that they didn't see Jesus. I mean, they were talking to him, they were looking at him. But there was this something that was blocking, and Luke is trying to tell us that this is actually God who is blocking their eyes. And there are a few other translations that actually pick this up, and they say God was actually keeping them from seeing Jesus. God shut their eyes. Now, it's not the first time in the Bible that God had shut someone's eyes, and we see this in the Old Testament, that God had shut people's eyes that they couldn't see. But it is odd and strange, isn't it? We wonder why. I mean, why would God do that? Why would God close someone's eyes? I mean, the whole purpose of it is that people would see Jesus and then believe in him, right? And if they had, I mean, think about it, if they had known, they had seen Jesus at the beginning of their journey, it could have saved them a trip up to Emmaus and back to Jerusalem. It's 14 kilometers round trip. But God doesn't. God allows them to go on a journey. And as we read on, we begin to see that this closing of their eyes was actually part of their journey. Journey into seeing Jesus. And the second thing that we see is we see the meeting, isn't it? The meeting. Do you notice where Jesus met them? Not in the temple courts, not in a holy place. He meets them on the side of the road as they were walking. Have a look at verse 17. The stranger asks what they are discussing. I mean, he pretends to be someone who had been sleeping under a rock for the past few days. He asks them, what things? I mean, did he really not know if there was anyone who knew everything? It was Jesus. Why? Because it happened to him. And he knew exactly what these two guys were going through. And he didn't ask what things just to be informed of something that he didn't know. He gets them to talk, not for their benefit, but not for his benefit, but for their benefit, isn't it? For them to realize where they're at. For them to see for themselves, speak for themselves to realize where they're at. So in verses 19 to 24, if you have your Bibles, I don't have a slide for this, they talk about their Jesus. Verse 19, what they thought of him. Verse 20, how he died, who was responsible. Verse 21, about their dashed hopes and their disappointment. Verse 23 to 24, about their confusion and unbelief. See, Jesus meets them where they are. He meets them while they're still confused and while they were still in unbelief and perplexed, sad and angry and guilty and have doubts. And even today, that's what Jesus does. He comes to our messiness to meet us where we are. And he doesn't wait till we clean ourselves and become sinless. He doesn't wait till we get well. He doesn't wait till we fix our lives. He doesn't meet us halfway. No, he meets us wherever we are. And I know people who have met Jesus in all sorts of places. In prison cells. In hospital beds. In death beds. And you probably can testify where you met Jesus. Perhaps when you were in a very difficult place. Jesus comes to where we are. But he doesn't leave us where we are, right? He confronts us. He confronts us. We see the confrontation. Verse 25, this stranger to these two guys, he suddenly begins rebuking. You foolish persons. Thick-headed, slow to understand. I mean, just imagine somebody walks to you on the street and say, you fool. You slow to understand person. How would you feel? I wonder, these two guys were shocked to hear this stranger. I mean, we've just met you and you call us fools. Do you feel shocked? I mean, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? These guys are mourning. And Jesus is supposed to be kind and gentle and not breaking you down. After all, he's a stranger to these guys. I guess that's what Jesus wanted to do in some sense. To shake them, to give them a good shake, confront them. Because verse 25 continues, their problem was they didn't believe all the prophets have spoken about the Messiah, God's promised king. Notice the word all in that. You see, they believed in some bits. They believed that Jesus, the Messiah, would be a prophet, a powerful person in word and deed before men and God. They believed that he would be redeeming Israel. They believed that he would be glorious. In fact, they believed in all the good, marvelous, juicy bits about their Messiah. And with that, they made a Messiah of their own imagination. They had their own version of the Messiah. And when they tried to fit Jesus into their imagination, their tiny box, he didn't quite fit in. Jesus had failed them, disappointed them. I mean, he suffered and died as a criminal. I mean, that wasn't part of their understanding of the Messiah. And certainly they weren't expecting the Messiah to die and come back to life. Perhaps that's you this morning. You have a Jesus of your own imagination. A picture made up of bits and pieces that you picked up from here, there and everywhere. Bits and pieces that you really like, that you're really comfortable with, that doesn't challenge you. You know him as a healer, the forgiver, the teacher, the good man, the miracle worker, the prophet, the provider. And this Jesus doesn't demand much. He's happy for you to keep him on the side or along with every other thing that we worship. He lets you run your own life. He doesn't interfere. And he's happy to rock up whenever we need him, like a genie. You just rub the lamp in the right way and he just pops up. And this Jesus nicely fits into our tiny boxes. But the problem is this Jesus disappoints us. This Jesus can't satisfy us. He fails us. And this Jesus we can easily give up, forget, and ignore. The reason why Jesus meets us where we are is so that he can confront the Jesus we have created for ourselves. And he wants to dismantle and discard that Jesus from our lives. But he destroys, he dismantles, he confronts, but he doesn't leave them there, does he? Next thing that we see is he opens the Bible to them. He opens the Bible to them. Verse 26, Jesus brings them back to the Bible and he asks them, didn't the prophecy say that the Messiah had to suffer and then enter into glory? Yes, he is the glorious king, but he is also the suffering servant. And Jesus tells them it was necessary that the Messiah should suffer and die. It is necessary for Jesus to suffer and die and then enter into glory. It was part of the plan. And then verse 27, beginning from Moses, the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Again, notice the word all in there. He went from Genesis to Psalms to Jeremiah to Proverbs to Malachi, the whole Old Testament, to tell them about himself. It just basically does an extended Bible study, isn't it? 7 kilometers worth of Bible study. Because all the Old Testament points towards Jesus. In verse 35, we're told when these guys were looking back at this encounter, this Bible study, they say, weren't our hearts burning when he was opening up the scriptures for us? In other words, when they compared the Jesus of their imagination with the Jesus of the Bible, they began to understand the differences. They began to see who this Jesus really is, who the Messiah really had to be. Friends, I think that's something that we need to do constantly. We need to constantly compare the Jesus of our imagination, our version of Jesus, with the Jesus of the Bible. Which means Christians, we need to read our Bibles regularly. Study our Bibles. And for us to get an accurate picture, a complete picture of who Jesus is and what he has done, we must look at the Bible, the whole Bible, the Old and the New Testament. It is important that we become part of a Bible study. And it is important that we preach from the Bible, because if we don't, we create a Jesus of our own imagination, a false, a fake Jesus. And that Jesus will fail us, disappoint us, abandon us, and it is easy to give up on that Jesus, the fake Jesus, and ignore him and forget him. Jesus opens the Bible to them. Finally, we see the eye opener, isn't it? The eye opener. And since it was getting late, these two travelers, they invite this stranger to come and have supper with them and stay the night with them. But did you notice, still, they didn't know it was Jesus. And they had good evidence that the empty tomb, The ladies who came and told about the angels, they knew the facts about Jesus. They had read their Bibles. And some of their wrong beliefs have been corrected. And they've had this wonderful Bible study with a stranger. And Jesus had spoken to them. But sadly, none of this was enough to lead them to faith in Jesus. Their minds were still dark, right? And while at their home, interestingly, Jesus becomes the host, right? He breaks the bread. I mean, usually the host, kind of the people who live in the house breaks the bread. Now this guest becomes the host. I don't know what happened there. But when he had begun to give the bread to them after he had given thanks, Luke says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. We don't know what happened. Did Jesus jump out and showed his hands? We don't know. But I think Luke wants us to tell something powerful. The God who closed their eyes at the beginning is the same God who opened their eyes now, so that they could see Jesus, so they could believe in Jesus. Jesus had promised while he was living with them that he would send the Holy Spirit who would open their eyes so that they would see the real Jesus, that he would lead them to truth. And here the Holy Spirit of God finally puts everything together for them. The empty tomb, the message of the angels, the witness of the women, the correction, the Bible, everything falls together. And all made sense. And they had seen the risen Lord Jesus. And when they recognized him, we are told that he disappeared from their sight. And that means Jesus, there were things that people could recognize. There were recognizable things about Jesus, but there was stuff that was different about him. He could actually appear and disappear at will. But the good thing is, the best thing is, they saw him. Although he was gone, seeing Jesus was enough. They knew from the Bible that he had to die and had to come back to life. They knew from the Bible who he was. And most importantly, the Holy Spirit had opened their eyes and confirmed to them who Jesus is. And now they believe in the real Jesus. And that's the core of the matter, isn't it? We can have all the evidence in the world. We can know the Bible from cover to cover. We can listen to thousands of sermons. We can preach and teach and rebuke and correct and do evangelism until the cows come home. But unless the Holy Spirit works in us to open our minds and create faith in our hearts, we will still be in darkness. And as a preacher, this really humbles me because I can't do anything. But as a preacher, this really excites me because it is God's work. God is the one who opens eyes. And he has begun. He has begun a work in every one of us as we are on that journey. God opens eyes. See, Jesus meets them wherever they are. He confronts their version of Jesus, reveals the Jesus of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to see Jesus and believe in him. And here we have a remarkable journey, isn't it? From not seeing Jesus to seeing Jesus, from not believing Jesus to believing in Jesus. We're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all on a journey. I wonder where you are in your journey of faith today. Maybe you are a non-believer. We haven't trusted in Jesus yet. Maybe you are a skeptic. You have questions and doubts about Jesus that stops you from fully believing in him. Maybe you are disappointed by Jesus. Your version of Jesus has failed you. And you have perhaps given up on Jesus. Maybe you are questioning your faith this morning. Maybe you are stagnant, not growing in your faith. Maybe you are a brand new believer and you're so excited to learn more things about Jesus every day, and then that kind of keeps you going. Maybe you are a strong believer, but you're going through a season of trials, testing of your faith. Friends, whoever we are this morning, expect Jesus to meet us wherever we are and be with us in the journey. He will, when he comes, he will confront the Jesus of our imagination, our own version of Jesus. He will confront. Expect him to dismantle and destroy your version of Jesus. Take time to read the Bible. Allow the Bible to shape your understanding of Jesus. Not what I say up here, but go back to the Bible. And most importantly, pray. Pray that God would open our eyes to see him and grow in our faith. Pray for unbelievers. Pray for non-believers. That God would open their eyes to see Jesus. Not just see Jesus, but to believe in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to see Lord, you at work in people's lives. Closing eyes and opening eyes. Meeting us wherever we are. Confronting and dismantling our versions of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that we have the Bible, which gives us the accurate picture of who Jesus is, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit, which enables us to see Jesus clearly. And it is our prayer this morning that you work in our hearts to bring everything together, and Lord, grow us in our faith. And Father, for those who don't have a relationship with you through Jesus, help them to see Jesus clearly this morning and in the days to come. And Father, as we see Jesus clearly, may our faith in him will grow. Father, may that be very evident in the way we live. Lord, we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.